not enough for Republicans in the legislature. They are basically trying to weaponize the insurrection through this audit, which is not really an audit. It's an OCHA witch hunt, actually. And I think it's going to have very detrimental effects, not just in Arizona, but in other states. They're trying to export this audit now to other states. It's being led by someone that was a key member of the Stop the Steal movement. So it's very, very disturbing what's happening here. And my worry is that in so many different ways, the big lie is being weaponized, whether it's the audit in Arizona, whether it's the new voter suppression laws, whether it's the attempt to oust Liz Cheney and put in place someone that backed overturning the election results in her place. I think this is all connected in terms of the fact that the Republican Party is just waging an all-out war on democracy.
And finally, hi there, this is Pittsburgh-based Hellraiser Ann Feeney, and you're listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM, and also streaming online at WEFT.org. Thanks for your support.
And programming at WEFT is brought to you by Common Ground Food Co-op. Common Ground is making some changes to their hours, and their departments will affect shoppers. For more information, please visit commonground.coop. And remember, we're all in this together. Good words, good advice.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Ronnie Patrick, Director of the Division of Rehabilitative Services in Illinois. But first, disability news for the week of May 10th, 2021. It's been a couple of months since Congress approved billions of dollars in extra spending on disability services, but advocates say the money is not being spent because states don't know how it can be used. The funding was part of the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package signed by President Joe Biden in March. The law includes a little less than $13 billion for Medicaid, home, and community-based services, a 10% rise in the federal government's share of spending on the program between April 2021 and March 2022. States, however, still are reluctant to spend the money without guidance from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Since states must spend Medicaid dollars and then seek reimbursement from the federal government, advocates say states are worried that they may have to pay back the extra money if they allocate funds for something other than what CMS deems an allowable use. The funds are the first major investment in disability services since the pandemic began. In that time, providers have struggled with rising costs for personal protective equipment, COVID-19 testing, cleaning supplies, and other items, while also facing reduced revenues as programs were forced to close or participation declined. Further complicating matters is that state Medicaid programs may need approvals from their legislatures to use the extra funds. A CMS spokesperson said that the agency is working to release guidance as soon as feasible. In the meantime, CMS encourages states to be collaborating with their stakeholders to understand their top priorities for strengthening home and community-based service systems. The Microsoft Corporation is to make its products and workplace even more accessible and inclusive to people with disabilities in coming years. The company says that in the next 5 years, it will roll out accessibility improvements to products, boost disability hiring efforts, and invest in programs to help increase graduation rates among college students with disabilities in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields, as well as other efforts. Brad Smith, president of Microsoft, wrote in a recent blog post about the five-year plan to address the disability divide. He said, quote, "This new initiative will bring together every corner of Microsoft's business with a focus on three priorities: spurring the development of more accessible technology across our industry and the economy, using this technology to create opportunities for more people with disabilities to enter the workforce, and building a workplace that is more inclusive for people with disabilities," end quote. Microsoft already employs a chief accessibility officer and offers some accessible technology. The company also has a hiring program specifically for people with autism. But the new initiative will mean an even stronger commitment to inclusion, Smith said. He said that accessibility improvements, as well as a new fund to help propel innovation to drive down the cost of assistive technology, is in place. In addition, Smith indicated that Microsoft will expand its inclusive hiring programs to reach more countries and people with a broader range of disabilities. The company will work with its suppliers to create a culture of accessibility and partner with other businesses and nonprofits to help ease the path to employment for people with disabilities, he said. Smith wrote, quote, "If there's one thing we have learned from 25 years of working on accessibility at Microsoft, it's this. People with disabilities represent one of the world's largest untapped talent pools, but we need to act with bolder ambition to empower disabled talent to achieve more," end quote. New research suggests that the COVID-19 pandemic further amplified the extraordinary pressures on direct support professionals who help people with developmental disabilities in their day-to-day lives, though low pay and high turnover is a long-standing problem in retaining dedicated staff. A survey of more than 8,800 DSPs from across the country says that the pandemic has further hurt workers in an already difficult profession. Almost half of DSPs reported that they were exposed to COVID-19 at work, and even though 97% of those surveyed considered themselves essential workers, only about a third received a pay bump or bonus during the pandemic. The findings are detailed in a new report from the University of Minnesota's Institute on Community Integration and the National Alliance for Direct Support Professionals. The study is based on a survey conducted between November of 2020 and January 2021 that researchers say is the largest of its kind. The majority of DSPs said that since the pandemic started, they have worked at least as much or more than they did before. Just over half said the places where they work were adequately staffed, and only 51% said they are guaranteed paid time off if they get COVID-19. Most DSPs said that the people with disabilities they support are social distancing at a level they consider good or excellent. They do say the pandemic has taken a toll on the people in their care who miss going out into the community and have had less exercise, increased behavior issues, mood swings, anxiety, loneliness, and boredom. Amy Hewitt is the director of the Institute on Community Integration's Research and Training Center on Community Living and a lead author of the study. According to Hewitt, quote, "These findings underscore a number of systemic problems regarding the direct support workforce that provides services and supports for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Turnover, vacancies, and low wages, a national average that is just more than $12 an hour, has devastating effects on these professionals and subsequently on people with intellectual and developmental disabilities," end quote. And finally, while hosting Saturday Night Live over the weekend, Elon Musk, the billionaire behind the creation of both Tesla and SpaceX, said he has Asperger's syndrome. According to Musk in his monologue, quote, "I'm actually making history tonight as the first person with Asperger's to host SNL, or at least the first to admit it. So I won't make a lot of eye contact with the cast tonight, but don't worry, I'm pretty good at running human in emulation mode," end quote. During the appearance, Musk made light of his monotone voice and his propensity to say things that don't go over well. Quote, "I know sometimes I say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say I reinvented electric cars and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. Did you think I was also going to be a chill, normal dude? End quote. And that's the news for this week.
Let me take you on a little trip, my supersonic ship, at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Well, all right. We're gonna travel faster than light, so do up your overcoat tight, and we'll go anywhere you want to decide.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by Ronnie Patrick, who is the director of the Division of Rehab Services for Illinois. Welcome to the program, Ronnie.
Thank you.
So why don't we start out by having you introduce yourself to the listeners?
So my name is Ronnie Patrick. I am the director of the Division of Rehabilitation Services in Illinois. We are a part of the Illinois Department of Human Services. And the Division of the Rehab Services mission is to partner with Illinoisans with disabilities so that they can self-determine their education, employment, and independent living goals. So that's what I'm in charge of overall. We have about 1,700 employees that are working every day to get that goal accomplished. And in the Department of Human Services overall, it's really driven to be available. Our tagline is help is here. So the Department of Human Services is part of just being there to help Illinoisans in accomplishing their happiness.
And to talk a little bit about your background, because it's been fairly recently that you've been an employee at the Department of Mental Health, right?
Yeah, so I, it's been like, yes, and so I, it was about a year ago in 2019, May in 2019, that I started at the Department of Human Services Division Rehab. Before that, I had many, many years in being involved in the independent living service centers here in Illinois. Actually, I've been at four different centers for independent living in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, folks are probably familiar that Centers for Independent Living are organizations run by people with disabilities, for people with disabilities. And I have had my disabilities since I was 8 years old. And being a part of the disability community really drew me into wanting to be connected to other disabled people, which is what Centers for Independent Living do. And then another piece, a part of independent living centers, is to advocate for change for people with disabilities. And that was something that I really excel at and am very interested in. And so I, have been a longtime advocate for people with disabilities. So that was my main career choice and opportunity before coming to this current role.
I think Governor Pritzker made a great choice by appointing you as director. That was very smart.
Thank you. So I hope I can live up to that.
I'm sure you will surpass all expectations. So why don't we talk a little bit about some of the programs that people may or may not be familiar with that are offered through the Division of Rehab Services?
Sure. So Division of Rehab Services, like I said, under that mission of trying to help people with disabilities to ultimately, be in control of their own life, we do that by determining eligibility for people to get in-home services. And so we have counselors that are in at no more than 47 offices in all the communities across Illinois. And those counselors determine whether or not, you know, you can get in-home care that would allow for you to live independently in your own home. It's one of our most popular programs. It's a high demand for that. And I think what's unique about the state of Illinois is that when this program started, we also allow people to choose who is that person who is helping them to stay in their own home. So the worker is somebody that the disabled person chooses. And just by the way, all of these services that the division have, I've been a customer of, so I have that customer, recipient experience. And then we also do what I would call like unemployment services for people with disabilities. So the division has a part of us that's called vocational rehabilitation. And that essentially means that we just help folks find a job or to increase their skills so that they can be more readily, a good fit for an organization to hire them. And that's another, very popular program. We have that, again, in those 47 offices across the state. We also have two schools, one school for the deaf and a school for the visually impaired, both in Jacksonville, Illinois, and students who are deaf or hard of hearing or have vision impairments or are blind can use those services and also gain some independent living skills by being on campus and being educated on campus. Now, COVID-19 has made some changes on that. We're doing remote learning right now, but that is something that we have at the division in terms of services. And we also have services in Chicago, a school in Chicago for young people that have physical disabilities. Just by chance, my spouse had graduated from that school in the early 70s. And we also have a federal grant to determine whether or not people with disabilities are eligible for Social Security. So when folks are applying for Social Security and then, when you're sent to a doctor to then be evaluated and whether or not you qualify for Social Security, the Division of Rehab Services is responsible for administering that program. We also administer an advocacy program that allows for people with disabilities to be able to have appeal rights in the vocational rehabilitation portion, and that's called the Client Assistance Program. And we also have a independent living, Centers for Independent Living. We fund 22 centers for independent living in the state of Illinois, which is actually, compared to other states where I've worked, is quite a robust investment that Illinois has done. And it's really, I think, worthwhile.
Yeah.
So that's us in a nutshell at the division. And then the Department of Human Services, which we're part of, has a whole lot more.
Of course. Yes. So backing up, I have a couple questions about some of the individual programs, starting with the in-home services program, because that's very similar to what some people know as home-based, right?
Right, exactly.
On the DD side. Now, how do people qualify for those services? What's the eligibility look like for that?
So the eligibility is that folks are, that they have, they're on Medicaid typically. It's not a requirement, but we do try to do most of our services for folks that are using Medicaid as their insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And then folks need to have, significant limitation in terms of being able to take care of their own bodies or their home. Mm-hmm. So, a way that I've often thought about it is that if you qualify for living in a nursing home, and getting those supports in the nursing home that you also would qualify for this program.
Okay.
So does that make sense?
It does. Is it limited strictly then to people who have physical disability primarily?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So people who have children with intellectual disability probably have to go knocking on the door at the Division of Developmental Disability, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So one thing that I know is different between in-home services and what people with intellectual disability can get is that the variation in the level of service can be very different depending on the needs of the person. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. What the waiver, so these are waiver programs, mm-hmm. right? And so waivers, they really are ways that the state can move away from using institutional systems or institutional settings to provide services. And so for the population that we're trying to serve in the Division of Rehab, we're looking at the functional ability on the, you know, the physical functional ability. For the developmental disability waivers, those are looking at, you know, other parts that that intellectual disabilities impact in terms of people's limitations. So, you know, there's some things that we're, you know, considering in terms of eligibility at the division, like maybe money management, bathing, like needing prompting with bathing. Like some of those things might overlap in terms of functionality with people that have intellectual or developmental disabilities. But they're not primarily targeted toward folks. Our service array doesn't really address everything that a person with a disability needs support in, with intellectual disabilities needs support in. So there's some distinctions that, we make in the waiver programs.
I know a couple of people who actually have both sources of funding. They were grandfathered in long ago when the home-based waiver for folks with intellectual disability came about, and grandfather actually does mean that nobody else is getting that. There is no duplication of services anymore. Very few people are left that have that availability. But it's such an important service for those folks who need it. So I know they all appreciate it. Has that changed at all since COVID-19? I'm sure it's more difficult finding support workers.
Well, I have to tell you that the support workers, the personal assistants, they are really showing up in a way that we were concerned that they wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. I think that COVID-19, just like just any other sort of common enemy will create, it brings people together, even though it's, you know, this really somber and grave time that we're facing as a world, that Illinoisans have come together, particularly in helping people in their homes and into our program to come and support people with disabilities to stay independent. And we also set up an emergency backup program that allows people with disabilities to contact different agencies to, if they needed to, find a backup personal assistant, that because maybe they got the virus or for other reasons. And that program we're trying to find some new vendors for, but our intention is to, you know, really be there to support these workers and so that they can make sure that people with disabilities are being independent.
Is that mainly run through the Centers for Independent Living?
Yeah, the emergency backup was, for 1 year, and we're trying to revamp that because it wasn't a good fit for all of the organizations. So we're working, trying to work it out.
Okay. Let's dig a little deeper into vocational rehab. I'm thinking people aren't necessarily real familiar with all that's offered there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a former customer of vocational rehabilitation, and it's very exciting for me to be the director. And also I'm glad that you brought this up, because it's a really great resource for folks that are interested in, you know, increasing your skills. Like, say, you know, you want to run your own business. You have an idea that you want to, you know, that you want to run your own business and you have a disability. We can, through the vocational rehabilitation program, work with you to develop those goals, get you resources, you know, get you connected and cover the costs for training, education, you know, clothing if you need to, you know, go to those interviews or those jobs, PPE, which meaning like protective gear if you need that. Once you get your job, you need that gear. There's a lot of flexibility in the vocational rehabilitation program that allows us to cover costs for people with disabilities who really, you know, want to get that job and contribute in, you know, in that way. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a goal. So you really need to identify, like, what do you want to be? So like in my case, you know, at first I wanted to be a lawyer, and then I wanted to be a case manager, and then I wanted to be an advocate. You know what I mean? There's all these different things. And that program does allow for you to have that flexibility and grow and get those, you know, certifications, those degrees, et cetera, so that you can be employed.
And so the person really does need to have an idea of what they want to do and go out and apply for a job. And then once they get the job, they can get potentially supports through voc rehab?
Yes, they can. We have a limited amount of months that we can do, like what we call supported employment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there, you know, the home base waiver does also have supported employment as one of its menu of services. What we I'm trying to work on with Director Stark are ways to mitigate or create a bridge so that people aren't having to go without necessary services when they're using the home base services and when our vocational rehabilitation, mm-hmm, you know, services expire based upon, you know, federally determined, you know, guidelines of the duration of the services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some, while we have these really great services, we definitely are working very collaboratively to, you know, improve them so that we do excellent customer service.
That's great. I know that we could probably talk for hours on this. I did want to touch a little bit before we run out of time on the client assistance program, because that seems like it's a really important one.
Yeah. So the client assistance program is one where, say that that you haven't been able to resolve a disagreement on a decision that was made by your vocational rehabilitation counselor. And it just, you know, you work with the supervisor, you reached out to me as a director, and you're still not satisfied. There is for the program called the Client Assistance Program, and you can reach out to them. And they will be able to help you to advocate for your perspective, so that, you know, there's relief for you as a disabled person.
And so if people want more information on any of these programs, how's the best way to get that?
So we set up a toll-free number, which is 877-581-3690. So that's 877-581-3690.
And is there a website they can go to find more information?
We do have a website, which is dhs.illinois.gov/ Help is here.
Ah, okay. Help is here. Is that new?
Yeah, yes. We rebranded at the Department of Human Services.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to say, too, that, you know, for anyone that's out there, you're feeling isolated, you know, that you're feeling some disconnect from people, that you also could use that.